brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Hey, hello, it's sipping time again. Welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Yes, that's
and
a fact.
And three.
That's a fact. Pretty much. Right.
Most nah, of we're maybe second best at 3, but we're real solid at 4:15. So
I've never stayed up till 4:15, man.
That's exactly why we're solid.
You never went to bed until 4:15.
I literally went to bed.
We're the best radio show you've never heard.
But you can get us on the podcast, kids. Get us on the podcast.
No hope. This is Made Man Bob. And joining me today are Made Man Brent.
Always a pleasure to be here in the basement.
And Made Man Maury.
Good morning, Bob. Love the smell of damp basement.
At least he didn't say tatties and neeps again. Good old boy, Justin.
Good morning, Bob.
I didn't want to know what that's supposed to be. Good old boy, Army.
Were you going for this accent? Thank you for having me, Bob.
Well, he was bobbling his head a little bit.
He did bobble.
Yeah.
I saw it happening.
Yes.
It was not pleasant to watch.
You know, I kind of have to think of it. If you got the job doing that on The Simpsons, then it would be okay now, wouldn't it?
It would be totally okay. I'm a brown man.
I have figured out a way to get rid of him.
I'm allowed to make fun of my
people. I have figured out the way to get rid of him.
Who are we going
to
trade him
for? Oh my gosh. Somebody call The Simpsons right now.
You can pay me some Harry Shearer money. We'll be good. Oh, that's nice.
No. I'll pay you some Harry butt money is what they'll pay you.
I already get that.
I'm sure of that. All right. Well, Brent, Maury, and myself are with the Bourbon Mafia. The Bourbon Mafia is a nonprofit organization composed of bourbon enthusiasts and industry professionals with representation in 8 states and 2 countries. Our members combine a love of bourbon with a passion for charitable work. The group uses their love of our native spirit to raise money for local and national charities through rare bottle auctions and other themed events. You can check them out on Facebook at the Bourbon Mafia. Show is also sponsored in part by the Fort Lauderdale Whiskey Society. To find out more about the society and their events, you can visit them at ftlws.com. Our show is also sponsored in part by Fine Spirits in Cooper City, Florida, home of the Enigmatic Machines, serving great wines, whiskeys, and other spirits by the glass. You can find them at www.finespirits.net. And our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, and coffee. And today's show is on the fine whiskeys from Penderin Distilleries, or Penderin. Not exactly sure.
It's Penderin.
I've heard it both ways.
It's Welsh, who knows?
Yeah, well, you know.
It's probably pronounced it's
Welsh,
Paul.
It's Welsh, and there's only about 8 letters in the name, so, yeah. You know.
That's not right.
Yeah, I mean, most Welsh is like 326 letters, and it's got dots over it and little houses. Yeah,
there should be more consonants.
Smiley faces and
15 consonants. That's how we spell.
Pretty sure
Paul.
there's like an Anubis there, and you know, like a barking dog. Mm. I should know this. My dad's family is partly Welsh, so we have.
You're an American mutt. Just get over it.
Oh, I'm everything. And we have Good and Careless from Belgium, and from Australia we have the Starward Distillery. So here's a list of the whiskeys we're going to be tasting today. From Starward, we have the Starward Nova, Good and Careless Belgian Single Malt. From Penderin, we have the Rich Oak Single Malt, the Penderin Portwood Single Malt, Penderin Madeira Finish Single Malt, and Pendera Peated Single Malt. So we're going to have, against my better judgment, we're going to have Justin give us our sips ratings and what he thinks is an actual Welsh accent.
No, don't do the Welsh accent. It's just embarrassing.
Well, now I have to.
Well.
One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like the Lucky Charms guy who's like
stoned.
Who's stoned out of his mind.
Right on Quaaludes or something.
Like 14 ludes and, you know, in a bottle of cheap whiskey.
Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
That's just bad.
Well, isn't that nice? Bad.
Yeah. It's not getting any better.
Magically delicious.
Three sips.
Do an Indian accent for three.
I'm craving cereal all of a sudden.
I'd be more comfortable with him doing his Indian accent. Do Hindi.
Come on. Nobody really cares if you're comfortable. I mean, yeah. Really? Do you care? Any of you guys care? No. None of us care. Do whatever you want.
Everybody's got their eyes covered. I don't know what that means.
Here, let's go through it. Do you care?
No.
Do you care?
No.
Harm, do you even care?
Not really.
Exactly. So go ahead.
It's unanimous.
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
The Lucky Charms guy just committed suicide.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
Oh.
I'm going to say it one time, and I'm going to say it one time only, and I'm only saying it because I care. That's why they call it dope, son. That's why they call it dope.
Maybe we should make this a 40-minute show.
Yeah. Maybe
just start 10 minutes
11 and a half-minute show. How far are we in now? 6:45? Yeah, about a 7-minute show. All right. Might as well finish it.
Five sips. Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh, my goodness.
He tried.
We won't be hearing that sound.
Oh, he tried. Soon. He failed.
Thank you very much.
Hold on here. That's a man from Wales. Come on. Tom Jones.
He's from Wales?
Of course he's from Wales. The sexiest man to ever come from Wales. Come on.
I can't keep all you white
people. It's Tom Jones. What are you kidding? There's chicks on our underwear right now. Come on. Ay, ay, ay. No hope. All right. Well, Mr. Grumpy, why don't you tell us about our first whiskey?
My turn?
Yep.
All right. I was just thinking about my white wife. She's Norwegian. She just looks like other white people. I have no idea.
She's from Alabama.
She's half Norwegian, though.
In your dreams.
Yeah, exactly.
No, she did the whole 23andMe thing, whatever. It's like, that's just a bunch of white folks.
Yeah, no, they did the 23andMe thing and sent it back, and it was just a stick. There were no branches whatsoever.
She's direct from Alabama. Line. You answered the question.
It's a direct line. Oh, it started out in Sweden, but it made it straight down to here. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, so we go from one white land to a white colony, Starward Nova in Australia, located in Melbourne, Australia. Starward Distillery uses Australian malted barley fermented with brewer's yeast and sourcing every ingredient from no more than a 3-day drive away. Working closely with...
it was a 1-day drive.
Yeah. A day's drive away.
A day's drive? Yeah, I got to put my glasses
here.
Back on.
Yeah, you want glasses?
I need new glasses.
I can get like 700 miles in a day.
Can you really?
Well, it wasn't a Brent day.
That's farm to the end of the coast.
You're talking normal people, dude.
Yeah. Okay, so a single day's drive away closely, and they work closely with local farmers, winemakers, and maltsters.
Maltster.
That's a thing. A maltster.
It's a thing. Carm, you're the maltster.
The maltster. Yeah. The guy who makes malt.
Maltmeister.
Meet the maltsters.
That'd be a German malt maker.
I'm Herman Malster.
The Starward Nova.
It's my wife Willie. That would make him grandpa.
The Starward Nova expression is matured exclusively in red wine barrels from local wineries making great Australian Shiraz, Cabernets, and Pinot Noirs.
Is it Shiraz or Syrah?
Well, in Australia, it's Shiraz. Because they're Australian.
But the rest of us would call it Syrah. Syrah.
But we're in America, so it's not Pinot Noir. It's Pie Not Noir. So the Pie Not Noir, but they use still wet casks that come straight from the winery.
You're showing your Alabama again.
Nope, that's how I pronounce it.
You're showing your Alabama again.
I can't take away my pronunciations.
Well, this is the interesting part, though. They actually use wet casks. They're not using shaved, retoasted, or anything like that. They take the wet casks. They don't rechar them. They don't shave them. They don't retoast them. And then for maximum impact of the wine, they just put the spirit in there, which is an interesting thing. A few distilleries do that with American bourbon casks when they use wet barrels. It costs a lot more money when to ship the barrels wet.
Heavier, yeah.
Yeah, well, we've had a few where they actually wrap them up. Who was that? They wrap them up.
Cellophane.
Yeah, wrap it in cellophane, put it in a refrigerated truck, and send them express across the country. So, because if you don't, then they'll go off.
They're moldy, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
we've had a few that tasted barrels, like that too. Yeah.
Wet wine barrels, wet bourbon barrels, intact barrels. They cost more to ship because usually what they they disassemble the barrels into staves, pack them into a container, then ship them across the ocean.
Yeah, you
can
get a lot of barrels in a container if you take them apart.
But if you don't take them apart, it's a lot more expensive, but you get more flavor. So I really respect the fact that they're doing that with wet barrels. So the color of this whiskey, as you can see, this it's a rose gold. It's got this pinkish hue to it. It's very pretty. And the nose, now this has gotten some air. When I first nosed this whiskey, it was just kind of one note, a little bit of berries and chocolate. Now it's much more pronounced. I get some oranges, I get berries, I get chocolate again. It's just more intense. It's had time to sit there in the glass. And on the palate, red fruit, vanilla. It has a medium finish. There's some cherries on it. It's a good effort. It's pretty damn good. But the wine, I think it's a little bit overpowered by the wine.
I think that, I was going to say that, I think that the wet casks did not serve them well here. They were a little too wet. There's too much wine, and they're a little overwined.
I don't know if it's the wetness. It's more they left them in that cask too long, maybe.
Well, yeah, one or the other. But in either case, it doesn't have the balance that you'd like to see. In terms of that, I hit on the nose. To me, when I first poured it, I got apple juice, and more apple juice. It just tasted like a glass of apple juice on the nose.
What? Whose apple juice are you drinking, man?
Like Martinelli's or something? I don't know.
No, I mean, this is not apple.
And what are you, it's eight? Faded.
It's like. How much apple juice do you drink?
It's faded.
I drink Martinelli's wine. Their Pinot Noir, by the way, is stunning. Same family.
Well, it's gotten better with the time in the glass.
All right. Well, we'll be back with his sippy cup full of apple juice soon.
Hey, everyone. This is Sarah from Good Nightmare Podcast. A podcast where I like to talk about all things strange and unusual, whether it's mysteries, historical crimes, or fairy tale origins. I hope you'll come along for the ride and join me as we delve into some spooky tales. Happy listening.
Hey, this is Steve from Great Lakes True Crime. We tell stories from Ohio and the rest of the Lower Great Lakes region. Give us a listen on your favorite podcast app. And follow us on Twitter or Facebook. Just search for Great Lakes True Crime.
My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Hey, and we're back, and we're talking about Starward Nova, Australian single malt. Yes, they make malt whiskey just about anywhere. So, what do you think?
Do they make apple juice like Maury's?
Yeah.
Nah, it just smells. Maury's smells like a moldy sippy cup and a lost French fry from underneath your seat. So,
yeah, for me, I got this. It was very oaky and very berry. But I got more like a strawberry jam on the palate.
Really?
Flintstone
vitamins?
Not the Flintstone vitamins, strawberry jam. And that's not what I want to have when I'm drinking whiskey. I don't want to be drinking strawberry jam.
Well, they make peanut butter whiskey these days. Why not?
I have seen you drink strawberry jam.
That's true, but
it's usually not his first drink of the evening.
Your wife says she can't keep strawberry jam.
Have you ever seen him do it? He takes the jar, takes the lid off. You can tell he's smart. He takes the lid off before he puts it in the microwave because it's metal. He puts it in, gets it good and hot until it gets liquidy, and then big straw comes
to the head.
Yeah. That and a little bit of vodka and some Malort mixed in, and he's got a great cocktail.
Yeah, I really got strawberries on this one. So,
did you add water? Maury, did you add water?
I did not.
What about you, Justin? Water?
Did you add water?
Let me add water.
Just try a little water.
Let me add a little water.
There you go. It's not strawberry jam, no matter what you say. I don't know where you're going. It's berries.
It's definitely changed. I mean, the apple's blown off, but I just find it very one note, very ordinary.
I got barrel aged Manischewitz.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You're showing your ethnicity way too much.
Just a little, yeah.
Good Lord.
Go have a piece of matzah.
Yeah, that's some kosher sweet wine for the uninitiated.
Wow.
For the non-chosen people?
No, for the uninitiated. You don't have to be.
There's rabbis listening to this going like,
you don't have to be a religious to drink Banishevitz.
That's right. It's an everyday drink.
No, you just you just have to have a dead palate. So.
I'm sorry. If you're drinking Banishevitz, you've given up all faith in God.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
There's a lot of good kosher wine out there.
Yeah. You don't have to drink that. No. That's your apple juice just with alcohol in it.
Oh, well, that's cheap. So that's what we got in my house.
I go with Ketum. The Ketum barrel.
Anything but good.
How are we going to rate this one, Bob?
Well, we're going to give this one 2 sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
Definitely interesting. Definitely interesting to see where they're going. You know, give it a little bit more time and we'll see where they're at. So,
also, it's a 41% alcohol. It's kind of low.
Yeah, that also is affecting it as well.
You're a proof snob.
You're making me one. I hang out with the wrong people.
Yeah, look who's talking. A guy at the end of the table? Please.
So let the guy at the end of the table do the next one.
Yeah, let's let him.
Come on. Okay.
Let's go.
Fine.
Go, guy.
Well.
Made man Maury.
Come on.
He's thank made. You. Ready?
What, got all day? Sure.
Okay. The next is the Gooden Carolus, Belgian single malt, non-age stated, 46% ABV. From 1637 to 1914, the Van Breedem family were millers and distillers. Say that fast several times.
Millers and distillers.
Turning grain into Genever.
I thought it was
Geneva. In Glasvel, Belgium. In 1872, Louis Van Breedem and his sister left to become brewers, taking over the Het Anker Brewery in Michelin, Belgium. It has been run by the family and its descendants for 5 generations. In 2010, they decided to branch out, and the 17th century family farm in Blasveld was turned into a whiskey distillery. Gooden Carolus Belgian single malt is distilled from the mash of their Gooden Carolus triple beer. The mash is distilled in hand-hammered copper pot stills and aged in first-filled bourbon casks, followed by a further aging in anchor casks, which are ex-wine oak casks, which are scraped and charred by the cooper according to the distillery's own formula. The whiskey was first released in 2013. So there you have it. Well, it's got a nice light copper to goldeny color. I found the nose to be simple, straightforward, some red fruit.
What is wrong with you? I'm sorry. I'll finish your review. Oh, then
please.
I'll ask that.
Oh, please. Please interject.
No. Go ahead. Simple nose. Go ahead. No. Go ahead. Sorry. I'll let you finish.
And I thought it was pleasant on the palate. I thought it was nice. It was easygoing. It was pleasant. It was an easy drinker. It's got a medium to short finish. All in all, a very nice entry-level whiskey that I thought was pleasant and enjoyable. Brent, what'd you think?
Not my cup of tea.
Of course, it's not tea, it's bourbon. Whiskey.
Yeah. Oh, it's that was where I went wrong.
It's not bourbon either.
I was expecting, you know, with the first fill bourbon cask, I was expecting to get some more bourbon influence off of these, and you don't get it. It's not there. It's not there at all.
Must be dry barrels.
Yeah. What did they do? They scraped them and.
They scraped them.
Yeah, they scraped them and everything. So them.
That was the wine.
That was the wine cask.
Wine cask, but. Yeah, just to me it was nice, easy going, a little bit of fruit on it and the vanilla. I mean, it's just a simple
and pleasant.
Yeah, simple, going. Pleasant, easy. Yeah, just
you can't pour it out, but you just can't get
clearly
overly excited.
Something is wrong with both of you. I want to hear what's wrong with Justin next.
So this really reminded me.
You don't
me
have that much time.
Of a
let's get his mom in here. She'll tell you what's wrong with him.
This reminds me of a Belgian triple beer without carbonation. It's like very high proof. Kind of reminds me of the Utopia beer.
Oh my God, why am I agreeing with Justin?
Non-carbonated.
What's going on?
If they marketed this as a beer, it'd be like a $200 beer that you could age.
That's your problem.
So it's interesting.
It's interesting that it is made from triple.
It's made from a beer. It really comes through.
But I don't really get that sense that it's a beer. I love beer and I love great beer. I just didn't find this had any resemblance to beer.
It starts as a beer. Bob, what's going on with you, Bob?
No, he's absolutely right. You can tell that it came from a triple mash because it has a lot of character of a Belgian triple beer.
Yeah.
It's got a very interesting nose.
You don't smell that beer yeast?
It does smell like beer.
It smells wonderful.
It tastes like beer and finishes like beer.
It's definitely a beer
geek's whiskey. And I know you guys are geeks, but you're just the wrong kinds of geeks. You're probably like Star Wars instead of Star Trek. There's something wrong with you.
We already did the Star Wars review.
Did you?
What was the Star Wars?
Yeah. Well, Trekkers are better. Come on. We know that. You're just the wrong type of geek. This is a whiskey geek's whiskey.
Yeah, smells. I mean, you could spend a while trying
There's no hops in this malt mash. I know that because I've asked them, but I still smell the hops because of the brewery where it's made.
If you wash your hands.
It's wonderful.
The character shines
his hair.
Through.
He hasn't washed his hair in a couple weeks.
He's eating frog legs. That's why he smells hops. Got him with that one.
You did get me with that one.
No, it is. Here's the thing. You can't compare it to anything else. You have to absolutely take this one. You have to take this for what's in this glass because
I think it's so cool.
I am enjoying it. I think it's very, very interesting. It's got a really interesting nose. And like Justin said, once in a while, the boy nails one. It's like a Belgian triple that's just a whiskey. That's exactly what it is. But the nose is very deep. I mean, there's a lot of nuance.
So malty and beautiful, and that hoppy characteristic, which I don't know where it's coming from. Again, it's not hoppy.
Again, wash your hands.
Yeah,
we're going to be rating the Guten Careless Belgian single malt 3 sips.
Interesting.
This whole average rating thing is getting to me, man.
All right, we're going to have Brent tell us a little bit about the Penderyn Distillery.
The Penderyn Distillery is located... Penderyn?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Said Penderyn.
Penderyn Distillery is located in the village of Penderyn in Wales in the United Kingdom. The Welsh have a long history of distilling dating back centuries. In fact, in 1705, the ancestors of Evan Williams of American Bourbon fame owned a distillery in Dale, now Pembrokeshire, before they emigrated to the New World. Today, Penderyn Distillery uses ex-bourbon barrels, including barrels from Evan Williams, to age their spirits. Unfortunately, the distilling industry in Wales died out around the time of the First World War. When Penderyn Distillery began operating again in the year 2000, it became the first operational distillery in Wales in a century. Their first whiskey was launched on St. David's Day 2004 by none other than HRH Charles, Prince of Wales.
That's His Royal Highness.
His Royal Highness.
His Royal Highness, HRH. Penderyn distills part of their spirit using a unique type of still designed by Dr. David Faraday, descendant of the groundbreaking Victorian scientist Michael Faraday.
Cool.
Yeah, that is a unique... little fact about them. So unlike the traditional pot stills used in most malt productions in the UK, the Faraday still is a type of combination still which consists of a pot still with a rectifying column followed by a more traditional column still. This unique combination allows Penderyn to distill at a fairly high 92% ABV. So this in combination with their all-female distilling team makes Penderyn a very unique whiskey indeed. Well, the all-female distilling team would make make anybody a fan, right?
Well, it was actually by accident. I talked to the guys from Penderyn when we did our Zoom meeting with some of these whiskeys, and they weren't looking to hire all females. It was just they were tested on palate, and they all have amazing palates.
So this next. Next whiskey we're talking about is the Penderyn Rich Oak Single Malt. It's a non-age stated 46% alcohol by volume, 92 proof. This is the newest addition to the Penderyn Gold range. It is matured in a range of specifically selected ex-bourbon and rejuvenated oak casks. So this has got that light golden color, which all of these seem to have. I don't think if you put them side by side, you'd be able to tell one from the other if you didn't have a label on them. They're
not
very close
to selection.
Can I see the bottle?
Yeah, not with these.
Right in front.
I get a lot of ripe fruit on the nose.
That's Madeira.
The uh, on the mouth. I get a nice, beautiful, creamy mouthfeel. This I get like a creme brulee, apricots, apples, plums. It's followed, you know, it's nice. It's a, like a, it's a short to medium finish. Creme brulee followed it off. It's a pleasant, very easygoing whiskey. I very much enjoyed it. Justin?
So, it's interesting. I was reading about Faraday, and they have this Faraday cage.
Oh, yeah. Faraday cage is awesome.
Origin of the MRI and to keep your hard drive from getting wiped. And this spirit seems to have its own unique influences that, unlike any other of the whiskeys I've had from that area, almost like as if it was in a Faraday cage.
Boy, he's reaching for that.
It's
one.
A little reach.
Holy cow.
I found it was like...
How many other whiskeys from that region have you had, considering this is the only distillery in Wales?
Well, I had the other ones on this show. So about five. And thought it was like sweet and malty and like very, very clear new make. When they made it,
I think so that's I think that's it. where I think that they use the Faraday still. I think this is the problem with it. It's not that there's a problem per se. It's their style. They're coming off the still at 92% ABV.
There's no flavor left.
Yeah,
but it's very clean.
It's super clean. It's but 92% ABV is almost you're getting close to vodka here. Where's the malt? You get there's no fusel oils coming off. There's none of the heavier distillate coming off. So no, some of the flavor,
all the good stuff.
The flavor no profile.
It's a vodka lover's whiskey.
It's like Canadian whiskey, right?
Yeah,
Canadian whiskey's high proof too, or coming off the stills. It's less flavor from the grains and the yeast, and more from the barrel.
Well, it clearly deviates from the rules of making Scotch single malt.
Right.
Obviously, this
and
is
they
not
want
it. Scotch.
They want to be. They want. They don't want to be Scotch. They want
it's
to be
considered to be a single malt Welsh whiskey.
It's the only Welsh whiskey,
and they've made a few modifications up to and including the still, the hybrid still, and then of course they're using a little bit of a column. They definitely have the ability to go higher on the proof, as we said, strip out some flavors. It's a different beast. I think it's interesting. I like where it's going. I just don't find it to be overly complex. I find it to be average.
Most of their whiskeys are also non-age statement because it's all about flavor profile. I don't remember the problem is I didn't study this up before the show, but I should have.
No, thanks.
I at least used to know this. They have a very specific process of selecting their whiskeys and how they taste and different types. And so they have a fairly rigorous process. I respect what they're doing. I just wish they didn't start with 92% ABV.
I agree with you. I don't think it tastes young. They don't put an age statement. A lot of times that's a metaphor for young whiskey. They don't need it. It doesn't taste young. My complaint is not that it tastes young or immature. My complaint is that I think they've stripped too much flavor with the distillation process.
It's medium. I got banana notes. I got cereal notes. I got raisin notes. It's
muted. Because remember, at 92%, they're adding almost 50% by volume of water to get this down to 46 ABV.
It has to be aged first. They're getting a lot. They're relying a lot on their barrels, and I think they could do better with changing the distillate a little bit.
I think the vodka people that love vodka would love this.
If you want a light whiskey and you're not ready for Scotch. Maybe Pendarin will get you there. This is your...
Yeah, everybody wants everything heavy all the time.
You want to move from bourbon to UK whiskeys?
But you're underestimating what I'm saying is it comes off the still at 92% ABV, and it comes in the bottle at 46% ABV.
Yeah, but it spends time in the barrel before
There's just so much flavor it can pick up. Now you're taking the spirit, assuming it's proof neutral, and you got to add 50% diluted by almost 100%.
You can't assume it's proof neutral is what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely not. No, it never is. So,
Bob, what did you think?
I thought it was very interesting. I mean, it's got that maltiness to it.
Oh, I've had several Pendarins that are amazing. Just this one's just right there.
On the palate, it's honey and vanilla and citrus. It is a lighter style of whiskey, but that's what they're shooting for.
So I'm not going to ding it for that because that's what they're trying to do.
It's what they want to be.
You know, it's pleasant. It's got a very nice nose to it.
I just have an issue with it being light. I just felt that it was not as complex as other things we've had.
We're proof hounds and we're spoiled.
And you can't compare it to a 130 proof bourbon that we had 2 hours ago. You can't do that.
No,
you have to compare it to what's in that glass and in that glass only.
But I want to compare it to a 112 proof Ardbeg. I've got the different flavor profile. I want that bonfire on the beach.
There you go. Yeah. No, this is not a bonfire on the beach. There's no bonfires on the beach.
I mean, all in all, extremely well made and a lovely whiskey and a lighter style for sure, but a really nice whiskey. We're going to give it 3 sips.
Yep.
So we're going to move on to our next one, which is the Pendaren Portwood, which is also 46% ABV, 92 proof. This is matured in ex-bourbon barrels and then finished in ex-port casks. And again, it's this one's, I think, is a little darker than the others that we had, but not a lot.
It's got a red tint.
Yeah,
to
it's like a sort of a rose gold sort of color to it. It's got on the nose, I can definitely pick up the port wine. It's
The influence of the barrel is obvious here.
This is pretty clear. But it's not on the nose. It's not overpowering. It's well balanced between the malt and the port. And on the palate, again, you get the raisins, you get the grapiness from the port cask, a little bit of burnt caramel, some vanilla.
This really improved with the air. This one really did improve.
And then almost a sort of a black walnut. Sort of tannin to it.
Good call.
You know that
Why
sort of bitter of a black walnut.
I never agree with you.
I mean, I think this one's vastly improved with air. So so far so good. We'll be back. Just the destination.
Everyone, no matter how big a geek you are, has movies that they haven't seen that have other geeks saying, "How have you never seen this movie?" Well, we're here to help. At the Now You've Seen It podcast, we help you fill those gaps in your geek cred one movie at a time. Each episode, a guest who is watching the movie for the first time joins our rotating cast of hosts and panelists to discuss the movie and compare seeing it through fresh eyes versus seeing it with eyes filtered through the lens of nostalgia. You can find Now You've Seen It on Facebook at facebook.com/nowyouveseenit, no apostrophe, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, and we're back, and we're discussing some wines from the Pendaren Distillery
and
in
whiskey
Wales.
Too.
Whiskey
too.
Oh, whiskey, yeah, not wine. I'm looking at Portwood. So what did you think about it, Brent?
Okay, this is interesting to me, because I got a lot of the same kind of flavor notes that you got with the raisins, the walnuts, I got the oak tannins and stuff, but the one thing that I wanted to say was that they did a really good job of balancing this.
Yeah.
As far as, when putting it in the export casks, because I think you could easily go overboard on that.
A lot of them do.
Right. A lot of them do, because with that, that 92%, you're stripped a lot already, and it's so easy to overdo something at that point, when you put in another cask like that. And we've seen so many places that have overdone it. And it's nice to see a nice balance on this one where they haven't done that, even with the initial flavors being stripped back a little bit. I think they've done a great job with that balancing part. And I'm looking forward to, seeing other things for them. And it's one of those things, man, what if they did it at one... 60% or something.
You brought that up, and literally that's what I have on my shelf from Pendaren. I have the single malt Welsh whiskey, the Pendaren Portwood Cask Strength. 12 years old.
Now, that would be more interesting.
That is a stunning beast. Unfortunately, they couldn't send us because there was only a single cask for the U.S. That's like 400 bottles. That was it.
Yeah.
Well, so, again, you're going to have more flavor. Again, remember, it's going in at 92, so it's, yeah. Well, we don't know for sure. But
we don't know the age on this one either.
No, right. It's you don't know what it went in at.
Right, yeah. But they did age it. I mean, for that's the age of it, the age doesn't really matter because they didn't. What I'm trying to say is they didn't overdo it.
Yeah,
you know, which was nice.
A lot
of
whiskeys taste like port and not whiskey.
Yeah,
and then a lot of them taste like whiskey with no port at all. And
but they got the color.
Like we say all the time, you know, the balance is getting the balance of the port filling in the holes that the whiskey is missing. So
yes, and they've done a very good job.
Yeah, I think they did a good job on that. And it's and it absolutely is significantly changed in the last.
Yeah, this half is another one that really improved with air. I feel like maybe because these are no age statement whiskeys, there are some younger ones in here, and younger whiskeys usually benefit with a little bit of air. This blossomed.
The nose is 10 times more now that it's got
it totally air. Blossomed in the glass. There's no water in ours either. At 92 proof, I don't think you need to add any, but I'm gonna try some anyway. The heck. We'll see if it does anything.
What do you think, Justin?
I really like this once the air got to it. I couldn't really figure out the notes in the beginning. It seemed kind of confused, but after a half hour, 45 minutes in the glass, it all came together. And I agree with Brent that the wood and the port balance very well, and it's a really pleasant spirit. Mm.
Oh, yeah. It's again, that's the hardest thing is to, if you're doing cask finishing and, 50 or 75 years ago, that was not a big thing, but it has grown, I mean, Bill Lumsden was one of the, the key guys really starting a lot of that, but it's grown a lot. It's even grown here in the States, and there are some people that do it well, and there are some people that did not do it well.
Sometimes you might be heavy-handed the first few times you do it, so give them time to develop. These people have obviously.
Honestly, there's some that still, they've been doing it for years and it still tastes more winey than it does whiskey. But again, I understand what they're doing sometimes on that because, again, they're pitching to people that are looking for that palate. It's like the difference. How many Sherry Bomb whiskeys have you had that honestly taste like sherry with a little bit of whiskey mixed in it? We're not
naming names.
It's not my thing. I love a sherry, but if I want a sherry, I'll just have a sherry. I don't want that much sherry in mine, but I do understand there are people who enjoy that, and that's fine. And if you're someone,
we're not laughing at you. We just point in that general direction.
Yeah, I have a damn sherry. But this one was
well done. It's just a coincidence that he's laughing at you.
Try ordering a sherry out these days. It's hard to find.
Nobody's good sherry.
From something that was very popular.
Well, ordering a port. Try ordering a
Fino sherry. Yeah. You'll find Oloroso in a restaurant for dessert, but have a Fino before dinner?
Oh, yeah.
No. What restaurant's got that?
Nobody.
No.
So anyway.
I agree. You guys have hit it on the head. It's definitely more balanced. It's very pleasant. It's a step up from the rich oak. And I think the port adds a little something to it, adds a little dimensionality, adds a little bit of complexity. And all in all, very nice whiskey.
Yeah.
I'm very pleased with this one, too. And that burnt walnut you mentioned at the end, Rob, that was spot on. And why am I ever agreeing with you?
Well, we're going to be rating that one 3 sips.
It should be higher. You guys are Philistines.
I agree, but we've got some heathens with us. We've got
people, averages.
Yeah.
Well, some people are.
There's always somebody bringing down the damn curve.
Speaking of average, Harm, why don't you tell us about the next whiskey?
Yeah. Oh, you're so.
Well, you're talking about Harm, not the whiskey.
I knew what he was implying. I get this.
This is another one. The nose is.
Pandurin really Madeira finish single malt, non-age statement, 46% ABV, 92 proof. This expression is aged in ex-bourbon barrels and finished in ex-Madeira wine casks. The color is a bright gold with greenish glints. The nose, it has exploded since we first poured it. I'm getting lemon, hazelnuts, a little bit of vanilla, and there's like a bakery, some sort of bakery component to it.
My mind is a raging torrent, flooded with rivulets of thought, cascading into a waterfall of creative alternatives.
You're clearly not talking about her meat there.
Yeah. It's got a
golden burnished bronze with hints of emerald green and... Like, what the...
Glints.
It's a bright gold with greenish glints. Dude, I'm using like 2 and 3 syllable words at the max. You're all right. Remember when you made fun of me for saying retro nasal one time? My God.
I still make fun of you for saying it.
Whatever.
Harmeet has one of those calendars and he gets a new word every day.
Yeah, it's all that SAT prep.
We can never tell which one it's going to be, you know. But he's cheap, so he just keeps recycling the days.
That's right.
So it's been about 2 months since retro nasal, so I figured that ought to be coming back around, what, October
today,
or November?
Came back today. Yeah, okay.
I mean, you can reuse those calendars, right? They just got numbers on it.
They just got numbers. And anywho, that's how they say it. And who says anywho? I just remember from Bugs Bunny.
I don't know. Oklahoma? Hey,
anyhow.
One from me.
Anywho. I don't know. Whatever. Vanilla, lemon custard, hazelnut, some sort of pie crust, and the palate.
Some sort.
I'm no baker.
Harm, put down the crack pipe. Tell us about the whiskey.
The whiskey is wonderful. It's kind of like on the palate, I kind of got some Nilla wafer and some bread, banana like pudding. There's some spices, goes towards cinnamon. There was some cedar on the finish. Medium long finish. Spicy, but the nuttiness faded away. I was expecting more nuttiness from a Madeira finish.
He's right, you know. Banana pudding.
Banana pudding.
Even a blind squirrel is right once in a while. Nanner pudding.
Absolutely nanner pudding. Jeez. Of course, he goes home to Alabama, so he knows about
nanner pudding. I don't eat that stuff, but I've been exposed to it.
You should not have eaten that stuff.
Out of my house.
This one, I agree, Harm. It's a step up. It's definitely improved. When it first went in the glass, the nose was...
Muted.
Thank you. That was a perfect word. And the palate,
I didn't have to use my calendar for that one.
And the palate was muted as well. I think it's
Want to mute it? Hold on. What channel is he on? He's on 3, right?
I think that the palate has improved with air. The nose has definitely improved with air. It's not quite as there as some of the Madeira whiskeys, finished whiskeys that I've had. There's definitely a little less Madeira influence, but you definitely get some of it. And I think it's a nice effort. I think it's really going the right direction. It's, again, taken some of the initial whiskeys that we've had from them, in particular the Rich Oak, and really amped it up. And kudos. Good job. Brett?
Yeah, this was my favorite of the day when I initial tasting. And after letting it sit for a while, it's still my favorite. I wrote down lemon pie with vanilla wafers, with vanilla wafer crust.
And I didn't even talk to you.
You know, that's what I wrote
down. Which I still hadn't talked to you, whatever.
But I get a spiciness to it that I just can't put my palate on at the time.
It's not cinnamon, huh?
It's a nice bright spice, but it's nice. It doesn't overpower anything, and I enjoy that. The finish is nice.
But would you buy a bottle? Would you spend your hard-earned cash on a bottle?
No, I would not. Well, it's not my palate.
It's not from America.
It's not
he
my
only
palate.
Buys American whiskey.
No, that's not true.
What non-American whiskey have you bought?
I have bought Canadian whiskeys.
I just
want to let you know that
Canada's in America.
You know?
It's Canada. Like, do you even stop at the border? I mean, isn't that like a state?
I never that used to stop count. At the border, but now they make you, I guess. So
That doesn't count. Mm. That's North America. It's still part of America.
Whiskey running days.
That's right.
You see? You asked me. That's what I told you.
That's fine. Justin, what did you think?
So, first...
Well, thank you.
Out of the bottle... I got some off notes. It smelled kind of like Old Spice cologne. The Madeira was really strong. What? And then, yeah. And then once air got to it, it went into balance. And I didn't get the lemon pie that
Venus is aligning
Brent got,
with Mars.
But as soon as he mentioned it, I tasted it in there.
The lemon pie?
Yeah, lemon pie.
It's banana pudding and Nilla wafers.
Ah, that was a citric note for me.
Somebody put some slices of lemon in my banana pudding.
Yeah.
You know, somebody put...
It was not bad.
Bob finds that on the fly.
It was not bad.
My friend from the Stern Show, man. I got everything in here.
Somebody put some bananas in my lemon pie.
There you go.
There's definitely more banana than lemon.
Somebody put some Old Spice in my high karate.
That's the spice, the high karate spice. That's
electric shave.
Yeah. That's the spice that I'm missing on that.
Oh, wow. How old is I in the high karate?
Oh, yeah. Like they made
5 years old.
They made red and yellow, and I think
I don't even remember the green. Colors.
Yeah, yeah,
that was before colors. My time.
I don't remember what it smelled like, but they were different colors. I had a cousin who, there was an old drugstore had been around since like the turn of the century in Charlotte that he worked at when he was a kid, and they were closing, and they just had a basement filled with old stuff, and they were just literally clearing stuff out. And he went and got an uncle of ours high karate for a Christmas present.
And, you know,
and my uncle, being a hillbilly from North Carolina, opens the box up and goes, ooh, and takes the cap off and right at Christmas dinner. Yeah. So we all had to smell, you know,
great
60-year-old high karate for dinner.
Well, you know, I don't know what's
and that there's worse, the though, title or? Of this episode. Yeah.
Is that worse or like the smell of my high school days, Dracar Noir?
Oh, I like Dracar.
Dracar Noir, baby.
That was high end for teenagers.
I think you were in elementary school and that came out, Harm. Yep. Let's not
No, it was
overestimate.
And Polo was good too.
No, Polo's never good.
It's still around.
I know. Yeah, so they have a car.
They have a vaccine for that now. Don't worry
about it. Jonas, we're going to have a
vaccine. You're not going to end up in the iron lung. You're fine, man. Well, we're going to be rating the Penderin Madeira finish. Three sips.
Under protest, dude.
Hey, you and me too. You and me too. Slap the others. I don't know what to tell you. All right. Let's have Justin tell us about our last one from Penderin.
So Penderin peated single malt, non-age stated, and it's 46% alcohol by volume. This expression is aged in ex-bourbon barrels and finished in ex-Islay whiskey cask.
Islay.
Oh, my God.
Whiskeys from Iowa do you have to drink before you learn how to pronounce it?
He gets his pronunciation skills from me. I just want you to know that. I teach them his pronunciation skills. You know,
like they taught us in Star Wars. There's always two, right? The Sith and the Master.
This whiskey really did change with air, too. Initially, I got iodine-y peat, Band-Aids.
There is none of that. But
after air hit it, the peat and
the iodine
went away. Yep. And the peat and the vanilla balanced. And the palate really follows through on the nose the same way. Kind of reminds me of creme brulee a little bit. What'd you think, Harmeet?
I think you should put down the crack pipe, Justin. There is none of what you said in this glass. I don't know what just happened there. There's no iodine.
Allow us to wash out his glass and give him a pour of the crack whiskey.
That's the thing. You need to clean the glasses between shows. It's finished in ex-Isla casks, but it's not that medicinal.
It's Islay to you, buddy.
This is more of a wood fire peat. This is definitely there's an Isla influence here. The colors are pale gold. The nose is super light peat. Tons of vanilla. It's frankly, there's not enough peat for a guy like me who wants a peaty whiskey.
It's definitely a light. It's difficult to say who it's marketing towards because it's definitely light on the peat side for a peat head.
And it's not enough fruit for people who want Speyside style.
Correct. I do think it got better and some of the extra heavy smoke blew off with time in the glass.
Yeah, again, this is markedly improved.
Yeah, it improved in the glass. It's become more balanced. It's not just a soot fest. And you get some fruity notes on the whiskey when you drink it as well.
Where do you think they're going to cast? Kalila?
I don't know, man. I don't know who they've got. They probably is Kalila or it's going to be, who could it be? Ardbeg's not selling casks anymore. Laphroaig's not selling casks.
Yeah, this isn't Laphroaig.
From Lagavulin, it's not Lagavulin either. I doubt it's Kilhoman. So I think Brooklotti mate. I don't know if they sell cast, but it's probably Kalila. You're right.
Yeah, probably. Again, this one's rapidly improved. I mean, it was very interesting. We opened it, and it's really air. It's really found its niche for me. I mean,
It didn't do it for me at all.
It didn't do it for me either.
For different reasons.
For other reasons, exactly.
None of us were really fans when we opened it. It's definitely gotten better.
Well, we're going to give it three sips.
Interesting.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. and we hope you enjoyed this episode. And you can catch all of our episodes where you found this one, as well as on terrestrial and satellite radio, and online at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, CBS Radio, Radio.com, and pretty much any other place you can find the podcast. The easiest way to find this show on your phone is to ask Alexa, Siri, or Google, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback. You can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. You can also hear our daily tasting notes that flow out on Twitter every day at Sip Sud Smoke, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news, and you'll be able to interact with thousands of other fans on those social media platforms. You can also check us out on Instagram at Sip Suds and Smokes or at Made Man Bob. Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. It's a big help, and we get to see your feedback as well. I want to thank our co-host for joining us today. Thank you, King of Pete Brent.
It was a pleasure. Or not. That I got drugged to the basement. But I will be back.
And you were drinking some
insulin. That is a threat and a warning.
But will you be back with pants?
No pants.
Okay.
No pants.
Well, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Thank you, Made Man Maury.
Delightful day in the basement, Bob. Glad I wore my wool knickers today.
Your what?
My wool knickers. It's a little chilly and damp.
I don't want to know
here.
About that, man.
Thank you very much, Bob. Maybe I'll learn to do a better Welsh accent next time.
You'll never be Tom Jones. As long as you live, you'll never be that cool. Ever, ever, ever. And thank you, Har.
Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate being here. Rob, you're a gracious host. Rob. I say Bob, Rob.
Yeah. Rob. Bro, Bob.
Bob, well, bro. You're a gracious bro, host. Don't believe what other people
thanks
tell
for joining
you.
Us. Don't drink any bad whiskey.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.